The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Now turn straight into Safety Mondays with Fire Officer Jude Rogers. Hello, Fire Officer Jude. That was an amazing ad. I love it. I love it.
Pleasant good afternoon, Caribbean, and pleasant good afternoon to our loyal listeners. Safety Mondays, we're back at it again this afternoon, and I thought it best that we bring our campaign for the Christmas period to our listeners at Freedom First. You're the first to get the relaunch.
Wow, really? So you see how special we're feeling now? We're feeling real good.
Yeah, of course. And of course, Carrie V, you know, I think coming up to the end of the year here, you know, we're not missing Davey so much anymore.
Don't tell him. Don't say it too loud. He was here.
He will get jealous. He will get jealous, you know. But we have a serious message to share this afternoon. Mm. And I thought it best that we start off with the campaign that the fire service is on at this period. We are charged with that responsibility because we know what the statistics hold for the month of December.
Right.
And unfortunately, Caribbean, I'm going to say it here, and I am not a fortune teller, but I'm saying to you, we are going to have house fires in the month of December, whether we like it or not. Caribbean, I'm also going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say, unfortunately, the statistics point to the fact that we may have persons that would not just have a fire, but they can lose their entire property and even their lives in the process. And I don't take any pleasure in coming on this program here and making such a prediction. But the statistics have been so telling and so damning over the years that it forces me to really be on this high alert, and the fire service is on high alert. And so that messaging has to go out. Members of the public, I'm saying to you, and just over the weekend, my brother would have brought to my attention, a brother of mine, he lives in a different country, but he brought something to my attention I think is so valid, Caribbean. Caribbean, somebody was charging an electric vehicle. This particular person had put in a particular plug that would supply this electric vehicle with power, but they did not take into consideration the proper size of breaker and the fact that you can still overload that particular circuit.
Wow.
And Caribbean, they ended up having a overheating of the panel, and the entire panel burned down. And that put everybody in that apartment building under some level of threat and under some jeopardy. And that's just one of many different fire incidents that occurred. And in Trinidad and Tobago, somewhere today, at least two fires would have taken place.
Yeah, wow.
And those statistics continue to hold true. So I come here today, and I want to speak to the business owners, I want to speak to householders, and I want to speak to the generally all of us who occupy buildings about what we need to do during this upcoming Christmas period to avoid the unavoidable loss of property and life as a result of fires.
Yeah, and thank you so much for that, Fire Officer Jude Rogers. And I want to invite our callers, our listeners, well, our listeners, that is, you know, to ask your questions, because I know you are already putting up the lights and you're wondering if I have the correct lights. I know you're wondering, should this light, the lights that I want to put up, is it outdoor lights or is it indoor lights? And Fire Officer Jude Rogers, he's going to be here. He's here to tell us all about it. So don't forget, you can give us a call at 625-2257 or 627-3223. You can even send us a message on WhatsApp, 306-1065. Send us the voice notes as well. All right? Safety Mondays with Fire Officer Jude Rogers, and we are here in the Christmas season. So, Fire Officer Jude, tell us, what's the most common cause of fire during the Christmas season?
During the Christmas season, the number one cause of fire relates to overloaded circuits because of electrical circuitry. And let me explain what I mean by that. This is a time when everybody is trying to plug in everything from Christmas lights to power tools to appliances, and we just have a heightened amount of activity. The kids are playing the games, you know, we have a lot of things that are going on, and persons are having, you know, again, a bit of a festive moment, and we're having, you know, a little bit of alcohol, probably even cooking going on. But it always redounds to electrical safety as being one of the major causes of fires around this time. And of course, Caribbean, what do you think is running very, very close second? As a cause. One has to do with human beings. What do you think it is?
In the kitchen?
Well, apart from the kitchen, it has something to do with the behavior of human beings. And in law, it's a very major term in law, and it starts with the letter N.
N. I'm not sure. N.
So let me just hint at it. Have you ever heard of the terminology in law? Negligence or ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Negligence.
So our own human error, omissions, and also our errors have been one of the major causes of fires during this period. Mm. A lot of people literally burned down their houses during this period.
Wow.
Literally. All right. So they're having activities, increased activities. They're using a lot of more cooking elements. And they actually leave sometimes these items unattended. Mm-hmm. Or they may have no form of smoke detection, no form of fire extinguishers.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going about our daily activities, and we don't know how important these devices are in alerting us, especially during this busy period where some people are getting minimal sleep. And so you run the risk, Karivi, that while you're resting, after you've had a hard day of work,
mm-hmm.
and you know we are all pushing and doing the extra housework at home around this period, that in itself as well, the renovations and all of that have aided in the result of fires. I remember having a fire call that I had to go and investigate,
mm-hmm.
where this particular lady was having welding work done, repairs done to the roof.
Yeah.
And for some reason, the person who she hired to do the welding, maybe a friend, maybe a family member, did not take the safety precautions of securing underneath where they were doing the welding.
Yeah.
And guess what? The hot slags from the metal, molten metal, fell on the furniture. And lit the cushion, and then lit the bed, and then lit everything, and burned down this lady's house. And I am here investigating this fire, and this lady is telling me about everything that they've worked so hard for. They lost it in that moment. And all you needed to do was to take the necessary precautions and ensure that you secured your place properly.
Yeah.
All right?
Wow.
So I want to touch on some of those points. Mm. I know callers may want to get involved, and you know, you could give us your own experience, and I think we need to create a segment where callers can give their experience.
Yeah.
There are a lot of fire victims out there who can give messages about how they experienced a fire or how they avoided a fire,
mm-hmm.
and how they either lost a great deal as a result of a fire. It's more prevalent than we think it is.
Mm-hmm. And thanks so much for saying that, Fire Officer Jude, because I myself would like to hear the stories. And, you know, sometimes you doesn't really know until you're in the fire. No, not literally. But sometimes when you're there, when someone is looking from the outside, Fire Officer Jude, like, you know, you should have do this and you should have do that. And, yeah, you know, they said that before. But when you're actually in it, you don't know. And I would love for persons to give their experiences as well, if you're comfortable with sharing it with us, so that we can learn what not to do. All right? Now, let's continue. And guys, don't forget, you can send me those messages on WhatsApp, 306-1065. Someone sent a message, Fire Officer Jude. They say, Karivi, people are still leaving chargers plugged in, even though nothing is being charged. Some people really don't pay attention to safety rules. They are so complacent. And that's a real valid point to know. Hey, thank you so much, Torrance. Because we get so accustomed to doing it and nothing is happening. But, you know, we'll still continue to do it, and we know how unsafe it is, you know. Mm-hmm.
And so this is the point that I'm making, and that's why we send the gentle reminders. That's why when you played the ad earlier on and we talked about having a little evacuation drill prepared at your home, making sure that while you're doing renovations during the Christmas period, that you don't unintentionally hinder or block your exits. You are trapping yourself in your property if you... while in the process of doing renovations,
mm-hmm.
you're moving furniture around, you're moving stuff around, you literally block. Sometimes you could be blocking the exits for a prolonged period, right? Until you set back the house, so to speak. And by the time you decide to set back the house, it's too late, you know? So we have situations like that happening. I want to advise persons about the electricity. I've advised persons that they should have the electrical circuits checked every 5 years and recertified by the electrical inspectorate. That message is still valid.
Mm-hmm.
I also want persons to remember that multi-tapping or daisy chaining, meaning putting one plug into the next and multiple plugs on one circuit, is a no-no, and that is a recipe for disaster.
What you call it? Daisy chaining?
Daisy chaining. That's daisy when you chaining. You continuously put one plug into the next. So you are extending an extension cord. You put an extension onto the extension and add another extension.
Wow. That so thing people is do really... That. People do that?
People do that. You may, to a double plug, you may add on what's called a strip, where you can have six more plugs.
Yeah.
And you tell yourself, I'm safe because I've done that, because I have a fuse on the, and I have a switch on the, but I have seen fires, Caribbean, where people unfortunately lost their lives, where the strip melted.
Wow.
And the ensuing electrical item, a fan or something simple, which was connected to television, many different things connected to the same strip, and eventually it burnt out. You know, these things can fail, right? These are materials that can fail. The insulation can fail. And what's the first thing that's going to burn? That housing, which is normally plastic.
Yeah.
And when that starts to burn, it spreads to other combustible materials, cardboard, paper, boxes, clothing, fabric. So your fire ensues. That's how your fire is going to spread. And it always starts as a very small item. And it starts from as little as a spark.
Wow.
That heat spot that you get on the plug on the wall.
Yes.
And those are just some of the things that we encounter. All right? So I'm encouraging members of the public. You don't want a fire to be the cause of, you know, having a, not just a bad Christmas or a bad rest of the year.
Yeah.
And starting 2026 as a victim. So I encourage each and everyone, please, do the little risk assessment in your home, walk through, do your checks, make sure that you're not storing flammable liquids and materials under your cupboards and so forth. You should have those outdoors or in a safe house outside of the house. You don't want gasoline and all of these things stored indoors in your cupboards.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
And what about our gas tanks? You saw one of the ad talks about checking all the hose clips.
Yeah.
Checking the hose itself for cracks and these hoses have a lifespan.
Yeah.
And I want to remind members of the public that we've been seeing an increase in the explosive, volatile situations as a result of LPG gas escaping.
Yeah.
And we think it's the gas tank, but we don't understand that a buildup of gas in a confined space, once you introduce an ignition source, such as a lit matches, even the flick of a lighter, mm-hmm, is sufficient enough heat once there's enough volume of gas built up in that room to cause, right, the kinds of explosions and the kinds of destruction that we've been seeing.
Yeah.
But we can avoid these, Caribbean.
No,
all right, we can avoid these.
We can. And of course, guys, I want to let you know you can get into the conversation 625-2257 or 627-3223. I have a message here, I have a question from someone. And they said, oh gosh, like a lossy thing, yes? Okay. Oh gosh, yeah, boy, I really lose it. Where go on? All right. No, I have a question first. And then, guys, continue sending me those messages. 306-1065. Fire Officer Jude, what are the biggest fire hazards in the average home during the holidays? I know you mentioned a few, but what are the biggest ones, the biggest fire hazards in the homes?
The accumulation of waste material within your home, as we have a buildup of material because of cleaning. This may be the time that we do all our spring cleaning. We do it for Christmas cleaning.
Yeah.
And at that point in time, we're using electrical items in a more, how should I say, more frequently, much continuously. We may also have a lot of work going on in our homes around this period. Again, there's a lot more cooking taking place. There's a lot more activities. And generally, once it's around this festive period and we're doing so much, the likelihood is that we're increasing the risk because of that interaction with electricity and the cooking and on the stove.
Mm.
And of course, if you add alcohol to the mix or you add tiredness and sleepiness to the mix,
wow,
you have a volatile situation.
Mm, that's a serious combination there, you know. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for that, Farah. So I got back the messages here. Someone wants to know, Caribbean, good afternoon to you. Good afternoon to Fire Officer Jude Rogers. What should someone do if a pot or a pan catches fire whilst cooking? Because that has happened on numerous occasions. And I oftentimes I get scared and I take off the stove. But what else can I do? Thank you so much for the message.
So again, I'm not going to encourage persons who are not capable to approach a stove or flames that are over, that are reaching up to the ceiling. If that flame is already heading up to the top to the ceiling, that's a compromising situation. You don't want to be burnt or disfigured. Hmm. Normally, those type of situations, because of hot oil, which is a fuel source, is going to continue to conflagrate. You may, if you have the ability to, if that pot cover is sturdy and you actually have some sort of protection over your hands,
mm-hmm.
because by placing the pot cover and covering it, you're going to eliminate the oxygen.
Right.
And that fire is going to go out, but you could get burnt in the process.
Hmm.
All right. So that's one of your options, to cover or smother the fire using the cover for the pot, which is to seal the pot completely. But you have to have some form of protection. So I always tell persons, you create a shield, as simple as a damp towel,
mm-hmm.
acts as a barricade and also acts as a cooling agent to protect you, because the flame itself gives off radiated heat.
Yeah.
You don't even have to be near the stove to get burned. That radiated heat alone can peel your skin.
Hmm.
You know, so persons who think that they're capable of just running up to the stove and just covering it with the lid, that may not always work, but it's an option for a very small flare-up on your stove.
Right.
The other option, as you rightfully said, Caravi, is to turn the gas source off.
Yeah. Thanks so much
Eliminate
for that.
Eliminate the fuel.
I love that. Thanks so much. Another question. Someone wants to know about air fryers and if it poses their own fire risk. This is a very interesting question. Never thought about that before.
Before I speak on any topic, Caravi, I do my research.
Yeah.
I have not encountered much write-ups, what I would call testimonials about air fryers being dangerous. It is a device that really circulates or uses the convection process and circulates the air in what we call a circular motion.
Yeah.
And it does an even cooking of the items without oil. So that in itself presents, it removes some of the accelerants that normally causes fires to flare up, like oil. But then when you're cooking, the item that you're cooking can also spring oil. So my suggestion is I'm going to do a little bit more research on this particular topic before I make a pronouncement on it. But so far, intrinsically, these units have been very safe.
Right.
I do, however, know that if you get a device that is defective, especially in its electrical or electronic components,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get the same flare-up and the same fires that you will get as if you have a plug that is frayed or has damage to it.
Ah.
So I think the most important thing with electrical items, appliances, is to plug them out properly and don't tug on the plug.
Hmm.
Don't use it if the plug is broken. If it's damaged, if it has taken a fall, you really don't want to use those electrical items.
Right.
Have them checked out and certified.
Gotcha. Thanks so much for that, Fire Officer Jude. We have another message here. Good afternoon, Carrie V. Good afternoon to you and Fire Officer Jude.
Good afternoon. I would like
to know, what's the average cost of a 10-pound dry fire extinguisher, and where can you recommend? Now, I don't know if you can recommend where to purchase one, but
I'm at this stage in the game, I would say there is no. I'm not advertising for any company, but we have so many safety companies in Trinidad that actually carry certified products.
Mm.
So for me, a 10-pound dry chemical fire extinguisher averages around 500 TT,
mm-hmm.
around there, for a 10-pound. The smaller units go for less. But I do recommend a 10-pound dry chemical powder, or what they call an ABC fire extinguisher.
Oh.
And I want to say that you can get those extinguishers at reputable safety stores from the East-West Corridor to the Central area, Point Lisas, as well as San Fernando and South. They have companies throughout the length and breadth of Trinidad and in Tobago.
Mm.
So there's no excuse for someone who is really looking for an affordable device that can protect and save their homes.
Right, right. Thank you so much for that message. And Fire Officer Judah, no one asks you, what is a dry fire extinguisher? But it's a
dry chemical. It's called dry chemical, and it's a powder, and it's a powder base. It's normally potassium based, bicarbonate based, and really and truly, just think about some sort of powder that covers a particular item, and it literally bakes itself onto the surface of what is burning. mm-hmm. and it causes the oxygen to be excluded and thus smothers the fire. And the fire needs it needs oxygen to breathe, literally to grow and for it to function. And without that, in the combustion process, if your car doesn't have a proper or clean air breather, you're going to get stuttering in your vehicle and eventually yeah. going to shut down.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with a fire. Hmm. Once the fire cannot get oxygen, it's going to smolder and it's going to tailor off and it's going to die out.
Yeah.
And that's what happens with those extinguishers.
Understood. Thank you so much for that, Fire Officer Jude. And guys, if you're now joining us, good afternoon and welcome. We are here with Fire Officer Jude Rogers. This is Safety Mondays, which we do every Mondays right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. Right here on the Overdrive, all right? Now, Fire Officer Jude, I know electrical fires is a big deal. Let's talk about electrical safety. What are some of the warning signs that a home electrical system may be overboarded?
Or overloaded.
Overloaded during the holidays. Let's talk about
that. One of the things that we used to notice long ago is the flickering of lights. When you see there's a drop, there's an instability in the supply, and you can tell that the voltage is not regulated properly. One of the other things that we notice is that we get a warming or some sort of heating up of that particular line.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you go to the plug and you place your hands anywhere near the plug, you realize that the plug may be warming, getting very hot as you're utilizing it. That's a sign that you have an overloading situation taking place. Again, you notice sometimes when you are drawing down power, let's say you're using 220 or you may be using something that is of a very... it's taking a lot of voltage and the amperage is much higher. And you literally see as you're using the item, the lights are flickering and so forth. We ask in places to make sure that the breakers that you're using are sufficient for that particular device that you're using. I see people taking chances all the time, Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
Caribbean people splice wires. They push the ends of a wire without a plug head on it into the socket.
What?
Chances. We using electricity outdoors. Rain is falling a lot these days.
Mm.
You cannot tell when... Listen, I saw a situation where a particular worker was electrocuted using a particular electrical device on a job site just recently. I don't have the details on it, Carrie, but I can almost rest assured that if you use an electrical item outdoors in the rain while plugged in, there is the possibility that you can be electrocuted.
And that
brings me to the next point that I wanted to make for all my friends who are putting up their Christmas lights.
Yeah.
Safety and uses, indoor versus outdoor. Indoor only, green UL tags. Look for the green tag. That light is for indoor use only. That's your Christmas lights, the beautiful ones that we have, Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
Standard lights for your inside of your home, not weatherproof. So if it's green... Green is to go indoor only.
Green is to go indoor only.
Indoor only. Huh? And outdoor, you can use the heavy-duty ones, which are red UL listed. So if you see the red tag, and we have a video with that too, Carrie V.
Yeah.
I'm going to get that one for you as well. Heavy-duty wiring, sealed socket. These are for outdoor and indoor use. So if it's good for outdoor, you can use it indoor, but you definitely can't use indoor only in the outdoor scenario, right? Never use indoor lights outdoors. Use the outdoor rated red for outside for safety because it is not affected by moisture and by the weather.
Right.
So that's simple tips that we can use to protect our homes.
Nice.
But Caribbean.
Now, Fire Officer Jude, I have a message here from someone. And this is what it said. Good afternoon to you, Caribbean. Good afternoon to you, Fire Officer Jude. Unfortunately, I was in a grease fire. Frying a piece of fish and left it too long. Smoke detector went off. I entered the kitchen. The flames were very high. I stood there and I thought to myself what to do. I said, I have seen on TV that they cover the pot with a pot cover. I did so and the flames grabbed my hand. That is where I got burnt badly. Listening to you now, I know what I did wrong. Wow. Hey, thanks so much for that message, you know. I love to hear stories like this.
You see, thank Caribbean, you so much, the Candy. Importance of getting first-hand information from callers.
Yeah, boy.
And that's why I told you, you don't take that chance of thinking, just put the lid on. If you do not protect your hand, if you do not have an insulation around your hand, I talked about wrapping or even having a towel a thick towel and even wetting that to absorb, to protect you, your body from the radiated heat. That person got direct burns, you know. That's directly involved. Because those flames flare up, you cannot control that. So as you're bringing in that lid, all you're holding the lid with your hand, Caravi, your bare hands. And so that's why I gave the admonition. I don't want you to say that Officer Rogers told me, just grab the lid and cover it and you're good to go. No.
Yeah.
You can be badly burnt.
Wow. Right? That's crazy. Now, I want to talk about something else. Oh, look, she sent me a picture. Where, girl, I really sorry you went through this, girl. Can't be big up yourself. And thanks so much for sending the message.
Yes? Before you go on, I want to talk also about thinking that you could use water on an oil-based fire.
No way, Jose.
All right, so I mean, y'all have seen many times when you're going to fry something, and just a
just
little
drop
of water pops off the spoon.
I back and I just run.
If you want to get a bad burn, let oil pitch on you.
Oh, good pressure in the camp. Look, we have another message here, Caravi. I believe the incident of a 19-year-old foreign national. The report was he got electrocuted as he attempted to either plug in or unplug a jackhammer. I didn't get more details of that incident. It was sad. I remember hearing about this. Right.
Yeah.
No.
So, Caribbean, there are situations happening every day.
Yeah.
That unguarded moment or that unconscious. You know what? It's to stare danger in the face and not know it's danger. That's like a child going into, let's say, the zoo and heading into the lion's den. You have no clue of how dangerous this situation is.
Wow.
And many of us walk the... This is why we have this program in Okarivi. It is to alert persons of the simple dangers that occur. I came here on this program and I told you, Caravi, that you should not just throw or discard of used batteries in a drawer.
Yeah.
And people don't know.
You see, because we grew up knowing, let's take it and throw it in the drawer, you know, Officer Jude. Wow. But
Caravi,
I want
to... Those batteries, just as simple as a copper... Let's say a 5 cents were to make contact with the top of a 9-volt battery. That's enough to create a potential spark.
Serious?
I can light up that same drawer. Yeah.
Wowee.
Paper clips.
Yeah.
They'll conduct the negative and positive pole.
Yeah.
You know?
So now,
be mindful, people. Be mindful.
Be mindful. And you know what? Not only be mindful, continue tuning in to Safety Mondays. Every Monday, we write here. Every single Monday. Now, Fire Officer Jude, I want to talk about something real important because there's something we just always do every Christmas. We always entertain guests, right? We always bring across our friends or families with more people in the house. What safety precautions should the hosts take when it comes to inviting people to their homes? Talk to us about that.
All right, so definitely with more persons in your home brings about the added responsibility of securing the areas that you don't want people to enter. And I'm not talking about theft here. I'm talking about if you know you have sensitive areas in your home where, one, you don't want person interacting with certain electronic items, certain things. You secure off your home. But remember, the main thing is being able to evacuate your home in the event of an emergency. Mm-hmm. If we have to leave in a very quick manner, we should have two exits always ready and available. We should ensure that when we have persons over, that persons know where those exits are. And it's very easy for persons to vacate the home in the event of an emergency.
Mm.
All right? I would also ask that if persons are going to be using alcohol, we do some strange things. Still be very careful with the use of alcohol.
We do strange
and
things.
I would suggest no smoking indoors, Caribbean.
Wow. Go outside.
I would suggest. Could you imagine smoking indoors? You have the ashtray and you drop us.
And you had this nice looking mat.
Your
you pay all this money to buy this nice
all
mat.
Your mat.
Wow.
Your couch. You know. And people be mindful. You should be respectful of other people's homes. I don't think anybody should be smoking it. And it's illegal to smoke indoors in Trinidad and Tobago. That has been made illegal.
Mm.
I know in public spaces. So persons may want to do that in their private space. But be mindful. Try to do it outdoor, in a veranda, in an open area. Make sure that you're disposing of the lit items in a
Yeah.
Non-combustible trays, sand, or whatever the case may be, or indirectly in water or something of the sort.
Nice.
But just be careful of how you entertain your guests.
Nice. Look, I have another message here. Hi, Kyrie. Good afternoon to you. Good afternoon to Officer Jude. Thanks for the great info. Would you believe I was making sada roti and it swelled and burst and I got a very bad burn from that? What are you saying? Sada roti, boy, serious?
Steam.
No, boy, yeah. Steam. Steam, not really hot.
Steam.
Not really
hot steam. Yeah. Definitely. That's a very bad burn, Carrie. Very, very, very bad burn.
Wow.
It's called a scalding. You can be scalding, like, in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
And I always talk about hot water burns, Carrie. Nothing is burned. That's linger one, you know. Hot oil and hot water burns. Oh,
way.
My God.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Nice to know. Oh, thank you so much for sending that message. So, I know it's just about 10 to 6 for Officer Jude. I want to ask you one question before we go, right? So,
sure.
You remember I spoke about, you know, hosting guests for Christmas. Now,
yes.
What is the very first thing the host should do if a fire starts in their home during this this lime or this gathering that they have? What's the very first thing that they should do?
Well, that's an excellent question, Carrie. And one, anybody observing a fire in a home or in a building, you need to raise an alarm. The first thing you need to do is to alert every single guest and don't try to just mark one and say, where the fire? Let me see the fire. No.
You know,
you have very, very little time to evacuate a home when a fire begins. So your first line of defense is to raise an alarm. The second thing you should do is to dial 990 and call the fire service while persons have already begun to evacuate the home. You, the homeowner, or someone who is trained, can utilize a fire extinguisher at that point in time to try to extinguish the fire, but you still follow the necessary steps. Get out of the house to a safe point, which we normally call the muster point. I remember long ago when I used to be practicing evacuation drills at home, the street light over the road, which is upwind of my home, was the designated muster point.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get there, of course, account for every one of your guests.
Yeah.
So if you had 14 persons, as you said, Caribbean, in the home, when you reach there, you have 12 with the next two. All right? So you need to ensure that everyone makes it to the muster point. You make it to the muster point. Somebody may be in the washroom still,
yeah,
Caribbean.
Yeah.
That's why you have to shout out, fire,
so that
push the door, knock the door, call out to people, let them know, hey, wake up, get up, get out.
And let me just add to this, be sure to know who in your house too, because you know sometimes people are walking, you in your bedroom or you're somewhere else in the house and somebody came in and you didn't know that this additional person is there. So make sure you know who is in all your house, so please, because that happened to me at time when I was 5, so Jude. I got inside my room chilling and saying, but when I come outside about 2 new people coming, I'm like, what's going on here? What is really going on? So that is something to pay attention to. And my final question. I just always have plenty final questions, which you know, Fire Officer Jude. But there's just be so much. last one. If you could give families only one fire safety tip for this holiday season, what would it be?
That's a very, very good question again. I would say it is so important that families have a plan. Carrie, you cannot plan for a fire after the fire. You have to have a plan of action before. And so I'm suggesting to family members that we all be our brother's keeper and we all know the evacuation procedure and what we should do. Definitely look out for one another, cover one another, and help each other evacuate or eradicate a fire if it does occur. And you could only do that if you practice your evacuation procedure on a regular basis. I would say at least once every 3 months.
Yeah.
That's 4 times a year. That's not so bad, isn't it?
It isn't. It isn't bad at all. Well, thank you so much, Fire Officer Jude Rogers, for gracing us with your presence this afternoon. And next Monday, you know, same time,
yes,
same place.
Yes. Keep playing the messages.
I am definitely going to play this again. Right as you come off, I'm going to play it once more. And I feel I'm going to keep playing one every day until Christmas.
Yes.
Every day.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
So thank you so much, Fire Officer Jude, for joining us today. And next week, same time, same place, we'll do it all over again. Have a safe one.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. All right.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.